This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Senator Penny Wong. You're listening to Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9. I'm Chris.
I'm Gordon.
And that leaves me to be Phil.
Yeah. Certainly does. Thank you for being with us.
The three musketeers, whatever.
The three happy chappies.
Oh, is that what we are, aren't we?
Well, that's how we were described by one of our email writers in errors.
Oh, writer.
And can I just apologise to the guy on our theme music who starts his piano solo and we turn him down? Every single week, the poor guy. Well, probably studied for years.
Yeah, he's been practicing for a long, long time. Yeah,
poor man.
Oh, he's
got
gone.
The band with him.
Yeah, so he's gone away. Sorry.
Oh.
Thank you for joining us on this, our celebration of our 750th show.
It is an auspicious occasion. Not suspicious, but auspicious.
I could be a bit suspicious as well.
I came in because you said it was going to be a delicious occasion.
No, back in the year 2000, which is 16 and a half years ago, in November the year 2000, myself, Bill Jeffrey, Annette Pope, Bill Pasek, Anita Gibbons, and a cast of thousands were given the task of filling out a two-hour show because there were sections of our program grid in those days that weren't particularly focusing on what we were asked to do. So that's what happened there. And Bill and myself started with a small group of people, as I've just mentioned, and we filled up 2 hours of chat about theatre scene in Melbourne, theatre music, community groups, and people from the community who were setting the scene and calling the shots in our gay community at that stage. Now, Gordon, the year 2000, does that mean much to you in the year in how we were developing as a gay community?
Well, of course, we're right in the middle of the sort of the AIDS epidemic, which was another thing that was really, really bringing us together to sort of fight something that was pretty bloody horrible. And it was a time of a lot of introspection about what people were thinking about what could be happening and all the rest of it. But there's always been the optimism, I think, in the gay community that things will get better. You know, I think we've always been an optimistic group of people and we've always strived to make it better.
And we will never actually get to that winning post.
No, but it's the striving to get there that's the main game.
And what is it?
Game.
We're trying to get there so we've got a happy smile on our face or social equality, things like this. Yeah,
that's right.
But and access to marriage and access to family.
Well, we're going to be discussing that a bit later in the program, won't we?
A quote from Homer Simpson, if I may.
You may, yes.
That he got from the annual Mustache Day Parade. Says, we're here, we're queer, get used to it.
I had a comment from a listener who said, Phil's always wonderful with everything about The Simpsons. He said, he just loves your Simpsons asides.
Well, see, some people have a life. Yes. I have The Simpsons.
Yeah, but
as part of our celebration, I've dug up four little sound grabs from some of our previous shows, and we're not going to play a lot of stuff, but there are interesting bits and pieces to it. And
there are some great stories.
Oh, there are lots of stories, yeah, and a lot of these have been actually committed to the archives, the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, and one of them covers the story of the drag scene, the showgirl scene in Melbourne in the 70s and 80s, and finishing up early 90s with Jan Hillier's shows at the Prince of Wales Hotel in St Kilda. The show is called Pokies.
They were wonderful. They created such a buzz in the community that you could hardly get into the places on Sunday night, into the Prince of Wales on a Sunday night.
You went, did you?
I've been there, yeah.
I used to go. That was my religion.
Yes.
I'm going to church tonight.
Going to church tonight, yes. But you could be there. It was safe. It was fun. And everybody just had a wonderful, wonderful time. And it was in the middle of the crisis, of course. Just
yeah. To, you know. But Jan Hillier as a person was wonderful. She had that entrepreneuring spirit. She recognised that the gay community needed dances, because until then we just wander around from pub to pub or have social parties at people's houses. But there were problems because the crowds were building and building, and no one could let 100 people into the house and expect to survive that. So Jan thought, well, why don't I set up some dances? And she did. And she found good venues, and eventually they landed in the Prince of Wales, started to produce shows with Doug Lucas.
Hmm.
Marvellous.
Dougie Lucas, yes. He was a great performer.
There was a wonderful series bloke. Of shows being done for the straight community, well, for the ordinary community, just up the road from the Prince of Wales in those days. And it was a showgirl show. It was a Las Vegas type, Tits and Feathers.
Hmm.
And this is the show. And, of course, the capitals for that were written out on the front of the building, TITS.
Mm.
So that dragged in a lot of people who wanted to see showgirls. But little did they know that some of the showgirls weren't.
They were show blokes, but they were dressed as showgirls.
And that's right.
And they were so good, you could hardly tell the difference. They were just so beautiful-looking guys.
And there was music around that provided the opportunity for people to dance, to do acts. There were films that we would take off the show pieces from and represent them for the Sunday night crew. But I've got a little grab here from our friend Jan Hillier, a couple of years before her death.
He came up and said, look, I don't mean to complain, but somebody's having sex under my table. And I said, what? It was my dance. She said, we're sitting down here. I said, where? And in those days, I served cabana, celery, you know, you used to pay, I think, $2, I can't remember, $2 or $3, but it was cheap. I was always cheap to get in, contrary to what everybody says. I'm the mega millionaire, I'm not. Anyhow, so over to her table I went, and we had the cabana and the celery and everything on the table, and the tablecloth was hanging down to the floor. And I said, there's nobody rooting here. She said, yes, lift that tablecloth. And there was a guy and a girl going hell for leather. So I lifted up my foot and pushed his ass and said, get up from... Hey, I swore then.
That's all right. We'll let you do that, Jan.
And I said, get up off that floor and get out of this dance immediately. And I thought, after your luck, I haven't had one for 6 months.
That was so typical of the situation that Jan
related. Everything always happened to Jan. She always had those absolutely amazing little stories to tell about things that had happened in the gay scene. They were absolutely, she was a full bottle on some very, very funny stories.
She told the story on that particular program, which was in the year 2000, and it's now in the annals of the Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives on our show, how she noticed that there was no trouble in the pubs where she was holding dances at. And that was because some of the local, she called them mafia, liked coming along to that pub and enjoying our company and our shows.
Mm.
And all the other hoodlums around town apparently wouldn't therefore bother us because they knew the big mafia boys were in there.
It's nice to have protection.
It is. I don't think she ever had to pay for it, but
no,
there we
no,
go.
But it was her attitude, a wonderful attitude. She was just a wonderful spirited woman. She really was. I really loved Jan. I thought she was a great... I knew her quite personally as well as... From what she was doing.
We should point out, though, that what we're referring to as pokies has got nothing to do with pokies today.
Oh, no.
There was no gaming machines.
There was no gaming machines in those days, although a lot of the people were on the game, though. Yes, yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
One of our other guests you already know because we quite often play their intro. And their intro goes like this.
Hello, we're the Kransky Sisters on Joy 94.9.
The Kransky Sisters are back in Melbourne, especially after touring the UK and New Zealand. And we welcome them once again. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good Bill. Morning.
Yes, and Gordon and
Chris.
Yes.
What are we going to expect in this show? Have you got new music in there as well as some of the old favourites?
We've got all new songs.
Yes, we have all new songs.
Excellent.
Now, I've always wondered, where do you find your songs? How are you exposed to them?
We don't expose ourselves to anything. Then that you leave that to those naked people on the beach.
Sorry, I apologise. No, well, do you listen, go to concerts, or do you have an iPod or any of these wonderful new devices?
No, we actually just listen to our wireless in the car and at home, and that's how we learn all of our songs.
Learn all of our songs.
And the rest of our shows, of course, are made up of our stories that we've gathered travelling around the countryside.
Around the countryside.
And all the songs you hear are only the ones we've heard on the wireless.
And you have a wonderful ear for actually capturing the tune, but I'm not sure about the rhythm that you capture. The Kransky Sisters have just picked up their instruments and the musical devices as well, and they're going to play a little song for us. So here we go, standing back. You count yourselves in.
Pretty woman, walking down the street, pretty woman, the kind I like to meet, pretty woman. I don't believe you, you're not the truth. No one could look as good as you.
Wow.
Yes.
Pretty woman, won't you pardon me, pretty woman? I couldn't help but see, pretty woman, that you are lovely as can be. Are you lonely just like me?
Wow, yes.
Pretty woman, stop a while. Pretty woman, talk a while. Pretty woman, give your smile to me.
Indeed, the wonderful Kransky Sisters with a musical saw, and there's a tuba in the background from Eva, or Ava, I think.
Ava. Out of their costumes, they must have been very, very beautiful women, because I was sitting up very close to them during one time they were in the studio, and I was amazed at how beautiful they were, and yet they made themselves look so plain and dowdy in their costumes.
Or grey.
Yeah, it was just unbelievable, but when you were up close to them, they were absolutely quite beautiful women, yeah.
Just the little shtick, the main sister saying, you know, like finishing a sentence and then having the repeat of that end of sentence.
We listened in the radio, in the wireless in our car. Yes. In the wireless in our car.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Sounds a lot like you. Now we know where you get it from, Gordon.
Yes, I'm sure. Yes. But they were really lovely people to interview.
Melbourne's lovable radio station, Joy 94.9.
And that was the theme that we used to have in the early days of Been There, Done That.
In the mood. Glenn Miller.
Yes. They don't write songs like that anymore.
They certainly don't. No.
We're much the poorer.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Great swing stuff.
One of the people that Bill secured an interview for the show was Miriam Margolyes. Now, we know Miriam, don't we, Gordon?
Oh, very well. She was wonderful. I met her out in the green room when I was waiting to come in to do a show or something rather. And she just chatted on as if she'd known me for years. She's a very disarming woman, but boy, she can be very blunt and forward when she has to be.
Phil, do you know Miriam at all?
She was in the Harry Potter films.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
One of them at least.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm aware of her work.
I think she's been in all of them, hasn't she?
Professor Sprout.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not seen them, so I don't know.
No.
But she was not only known for that particular role, but also her portrayal of lots of Dickens's women. She sent that program around the world. She acted in that.
Great show. I saw her perform that. I've seen her do most of her live performance shows, and she's just absolutely mind-bogglingly brilliant. You don't look at Miriam Margolyes, you're looking at the person she's playing. It's an amazing, amazing characterization that she has to do. Mm. You know, she's just wonderful, wonderful actor.
Do you realize that she's half Australian?
Well, she's an Australian citizen, yes.
She certainly is.
Yes.
On Australia Day 2013, and she announced her, and she referred to herself as a dyke on live on national television in front of the Prime Minister of the day, Julia Gillard.
Actually, Miriam and her partner own a block of land in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales. They've been there for quite a while.
She shares her time between London, Tuscany and Robertson in New South Wales.
Yeah, yep.
That's how Miriam...
She used to be in Blackadder.
Oh, she did.
Oh, God, that was funny. She was so funny in that. It was she was the queen in that, and she was a takeoff of Queen Victoria.
Hello, this is Miriam Margolyes, and you are listening to Joy 94.9.
Our guest in the studio is Miriam Margolyes. Vito and I are so chuffed to have this wonderful, wonderful person with us. Miriam, why is Dickens a favourite of yours?
I can't imagine why he isn't a favourite of yours, and indeed everybody's, because I love him so much, and I just don't see that you couldn't. He writes fabulous characters. He has marvellous plots. He explores English society from top to bottom. He shows humanity in all its pain and betrayal and cruelty and glory. He writes in the most wonderful prose, I think, of anybody ever. And in himself, the man himself, is such a fascinating man. The life he led, so poor as a child, so wealthy when he got older, and yet, at the end of his life, and he died when he was only 58, so unfulfilled, so sad. I think he's just an amazing creature, and I'm intoxicated by him.
It wasn't until I'd seen the marathon of Nicholas Nickleby that I realised the incredible epic that story had with it. You know, all that 8 hours, all those characters, and the sweep that happened within just that story. Our guest in the studio tonight is Miriam Margolyes in Australia to perform at Dickens Women. Miriam, thank you very, very much for your time tonight.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Your voice, your radio station, Joy 94.9.
As we said before, that Bill was actually a very good part of the team. In fact, he was the producer for a lot of the shows in the early years, and then he bequeathed that task to me. So it's a matter each week of sorting around, trying to work out what we're going to be talking about, trying to identify topics that are of relevance to our community and of this particular time of the century.
Yeah, well, there's a lot happening at the moment, isn't there, in our community, really? You've got the thing for equal marriage, and there's also the thing about adoption for people that want to be gay parents with adoptions. That's still in the pipeline. But there's also the thing with gay families now, with men being able to have surrogacy to get children.
Or even adopting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gay adoption is a wonderful opportunity that wasn't around for you or me in our days.
Are they still allowed to do that legally?
Adoption? I'm not sure in Victoria, but yeah. Some states definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's one of those things, but the thing with gay parenting is that all the information that's coming out of all the studies that they do overseas found that the children born to that have two fathers or two mothers are equally well-adjusted as socially. Anybody in the any other child in the community.
And they're gaby babies.
And they're gaby babies, yes.
That's right. Well, we did a little interview with one of the gaby babies' daddies.
Got to get it right.
That doesn't rhyme as much.
No. You're listening to Been There, Done That with Chris, Bill and Gordon here on Joy 94.9. It's our pleasure to welcome to the studio Adrian Perillo. Hello, Adrian.
Thank you so much for asking me into the studio.
And where do we know your voice from?
I'm one half of Andy and Adrian, Tuesday and Thursday breakfast, and I'm the one without the glasses and without the hair. That's me. Hello.
And you're a bright, cheery soul and a pleasure to listen to in the morning, I must say.
Ah, thank you.
And we've got you in here because you've dropped this little clanger for the rest of the Joy family. You're going to be a parent.
Yes. We're going to be dads. Ralph and I are pregnant. We're currently, I think, 20 weeks.
Oh.
Ooh, that long to go then.
So we've got, because it's twins, the normal gestation for a single child is 40 weeks, but a normal gestation for twins is 36. So we've got about 16 weeks to go.
Can I make the observation that you're keeping your figure really well?
I'm keeping my... I am eating for three, but I'm not putting on any kilos at all.
Whose idea was it to bring children into your lives? Was it you or Ralph? And who had to start the talk about what do you think if we...
I'd always wanted kids, and Ralph and I have been going out now for, I don't know, I think it's 7 years. We kind of lost count. I think it's 7 years. And it was just a conversation that we had that started kind of naturally. We both realized we wanted kids, and I was the one who was really explaining I explained to Ralph what happens with commercial surrogacy, because he wasn't as across it as I was, because I had come across it through a number of different ways, including some of the docos that had been on SBS. And we had there was a documentary about Tony and Anthony and Lee, sorry, and they came on our radio show, which is kind of one of the ways that I had learned about it. Ralph and I talked about it, and we went to a couple of forums that had been held, and really it's something we've talked about for 7 years. So
this is brilliant. But of course, we've now got the public disclosures by famous people. They're doing it, but you're not copying it.
No, not at all. And I think it's interesting, because this hasn't happened to us 2 months ago or 3 months ago. We had to start this over a year ago. So in many ways, the process for us started, very early 2010. Which was really before it really kind of happened. But I think you're going to hear a lot more of it this year. There are going to be many people that are currently, 3 months pregnant that haven't talked about it. And and over the course of this year, you'll hear about it. Yeah, it's definitely kind of come of age doing it this way.
You said that you and Rolf were talking about this for 7 years. Have you covered the things like the first year of sleeplessness and... sending them off to school and...
Going through the process, it got to a stage where it felt like we were planning our retirement in this whole process, because there's a lot more planning and there's a lot more contracts and legal stuff that you need to go through. So you need to, as part of the process, decide who will take care of the children if Ralph and I both die, for example. So going through the legal process required us to think about that. So we were sitting there going, okay, well, who's going to do that? And then you go through the kind of financial conversation where you say, all right, well, we're going to need, now we've got kids, we're going to need a bigger house. Where do we live at the moment? Where do we want to live? How much can we afford? How much money are we going to have? Where do we want to maybe settle down? All of a sudden, I felt like we had to plan out our entire lives because of what was kind of going on. And none of it was too overwhelming, I guess, but it was just a lot more planning that we had thought of. Yeah,
gay guys are usually portrayed, and I think probably fairly accurately, to be rather selfish and self-centered.
Yeah,
and you're entering upon a commitment to look after these new humans for 25 years.
Gosh, really? I think it was less than that. Yeah. Do you know, can we handle it?
They stay at home a lot longer these days.
And the point is, it's not just 25 years, it's for life.
It's for life. I know, it's true. And we have put so much thought and effort into it. This didn't, if you think about how it might happen with kind of straight couples, often it can happen either accidentally or or, you know, you don't need to give it as much thought, really. You can kind of say, hey, let's, you know, of jiggery pokery with, you
know. Let's make a baby.
Let's kind of make a baby and say it's not possible like that in the way that we've gone about it. So we certainly haven't gone about it lightly. But having said that, you know, I'm an impatient kind of person, my character, you know, or I certainly have a lot of traits. I'm not perfect. No one kind of is. And I guess the reality is we're going to have to deal with it because it's what we asked for.
I suppose we should establish if people, for some stupid reason, don't listen to Tuesday and Thursday breakfast, that you're expecting twins, but you don't really care about the gender. Was that a conscious decision? Because I would have thought two guys would have preferred boys because it's probably a bit easier than two guys having girls. Or is that my age showing there?
No, actually, we had no choice. So there was no choice in the matter. So when there's no choice, you say, well, I don't care what we get. I think there's you know, in reality, there's pros and cons of both. I think in our lives, we have so many women in our lives by way of sisters and aunties and fagags and girls and all this kind of stuff, so that we would have some of the things that girls have to deal with, you know, maybe through puberty or whatever. I think we'd be able to handle that kind of stuff. I think that's fine. If we had boys, I'd be just as worried about saying, do I have enough strong male straight role models in their lives? So I think there's, on both sides, you've got to make sure, you know, in my head, I think about making sure we've got the right role models and the right people in their lives.
I think the perfect answer would be a pigeon pair.
A boy and a girl? I'll tell you now, I can feel it in my waters. I think it's a boy and a girl. I do think it's a boy and a girl, actually, but that's just my guess.
I think it'll be wonderful.
You're with Phil, Gordon and Chris on Joy 94.9, but we were just listening to Bill, Gordon, and not too much of me. As we were talking to Adrian, one of our presenters here on breakfast shows a couple of years ago, that was recorded
2010.
In 2010, 2011.
So you can imagine the children must be now seven.
Yeah, going to school.
Going to school and all the rest of it,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, golly gosh.
Yeah.
But they,
good luck
they
to
were,
them.
They yeah. were the perfect fathers because they were just so relaxed at the thought of this momentous event that was going to overtake their personal lives. Mm.
But they had it all planned out too. They did a lot of planning to do the whole thing. This is what it takes for gay couples to have children. I think there's a lot more planning into it.
Not as casual.
Like you could, like an ordinary straight couple, they just have sex and the baby comes. You know,
it was called jiggery pokery.
Oh, was that what it was? Okay, they've had some jiggery pokery and they've
interesting got a comment though that if they were boys, he wanted some straight male influence.
Hmm. Well,
that sort of twisted that old nature nurture argument.
Yeah, but I suppose some people, it's probably to anticipate criticism that people would say, well, those kids are only got you two gay dads as their role models.
But they would have had the straight grandparents to be there as well.
But so the point is gay couples are not going to have gay kids.
No, of course not.
So you should just chill out.
Well, in that show we've been watching, When We Rise,
yes,
the two lesbians had a straight daughter who married and had children.
Yeah.
You know, so it
and rebelled against them as a teenager.
Rebelled them as a teenager, but came back to them when they needed them.
Well, who do you think sires the gay children?
Well, the straight couples have gay children.
Exactly.
This is the point.
Is that where we come from?
Yeah, yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, weren't
your parents straight?
I don't know. We never discussed it.
But isn't it interesting that we now accept rainbow families as part of the scene?
Well, why shouldn't we?
Well, precisely. But 10 years ago, we had to start planting the seed and fighting the fight to get the right. As well as those sort of achievements to our community's benefit, we've had the official pardon from the state for the
convictions of people back in the early days who were convicted of being doing beats and being picked up.
Guilty of being born this way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. But then our state government issued a pardon to all those people who had been convicted and jailed.
And we did that about 3 or 4 years ago.
Not
it was
long
quite
ago.
Good.
Not long ago.
Noel Tovey was one of the,
that's right.
the people of our elder community who fought for that and got it through for
that's
us.
That's right, yep.
Or helped get it through. Yeah. It's happened in UK.
England, UK.
Because a few years ago, I think 2011, Turing.
2013.
Yeah, 2013.
2013, Alan Turing was pardoned by the Queen.
Yes, and that sort of set the scene that other people who had been inappropriately convicted could have a pardon. And they pardoned that earlier this year in February. And now Germany is getting on board as well. Because would you believe that there were some Nazi
laws
still on the books in Germany?
Mm-hmm. And it was about homosexuality. And they just left them there. They didn't seem to bother to take them off. Like a lot of these countries have laws that go back for many, many years. And they don't get written out of the books because they left there as references, of course. So now I think they've rescinded the law, haven't they? They've taken the law off the statute books in Germany, and they're going to give them. They're talking about paying them
Financial compensation.
Financial compensation, €3,000
per event per person, but also €1,500 for every year they had their liberty deprived.
Yes, by being put in jail on that. Yeah.
That's, €3,000, about 5,000 Australian. So there's a sizable amount of recompense. I don't know whether...
And they said there's 5,000 of those people still living in Germany. So good on them, you know.
So now I feel bad for never having been in jail. It's costing me money now. Well, it's not fair.
I don't know whether financial recompense can actually heal any of the wounds or the...
I wouldn't think so.
I wouldn't have thought so. I think that the...
But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, but
it's an acknowledgement.
Yes, but it must have been when it happens. Of course, it's deprivation of liberty and the stigma that goes with it, and all that sort of thing that you live with forever. And it never.
I think the apologies are more for the person giving the apology. If you think about it,
yeah, I suppose.
Do you think the stolen generation feel any less stolen because they were apologised to?
Probably not. Probably not.
And same here. It's
but at least it was an apology, which is great, and it was an apology for the people, the gay community that had been convicted under the laws of the time, but as they're no longer on the statute book, those ones, that's why they have given them a pardon and taken their names off the book so that they can...
And poor old Mr. Turing didn't live to see the day.
No, he committed suicide, which is a problem, yeah.
Yes, because of what the law did to him.
That's right. Yeah, they gave him chemical castration.
Yeah,
and it sent him around the twist, and he just thought he couldn't live with it anymore, and he just decided that was it. So
history has a lot to answer for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, which is why we should learn our history so as not to repeat it.
Yes, that's exactly right.
You're sounding like the Kransky sisters there.
Yes.
Repeating one another.
We're repeating.
Yes. But it's interesting the way, if you've lived long enough, you've lived through all this happening. Because when I came out way back in 1954, of course, it was a thing that you wouldn't have done normally.
That was before I came out of my mum.
Yeah. That's when I came out to my parents.
Bringing a little joy to your life. Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Been There, Done That on Joy 94.9 with Phil, Chris and Gordon.
Yes, 750.
Oh, well.
Does it make you feel old?
Yes, well, considering that I've been here the longest.
The longest, yes.
17 years on air.
I've been doing this, I don't know how many years I've been doing this, been there, done that now. It must be about 5 or 6.
Yeah. No, because I've been doing it nearly that.
Have you?
Well, no, I've been a Joy member for 6 years, I think. And certainly had no intention of being on air at all.
At all, but here you are.
And they made me do it.
That must be like a bit of a fairy story.
Well, it could be, but a lot of fairy stories have actually got morals behind them.
We've got no morals in this room.
Subplots left, right and centre. But because the program these days is based around gay history and we like to celebrate the lives and events and carryings on of lots of gay people and repeating history so that we can learn from their mistakes or gloat upon their mischiefness. So we're talking today about Hans Christian Andersen, who was born on the 2nd of April, 1805. Now, we know him as a fairy tale writer.
Yeah, can I just say he missed out on being an April Fool's Day joke, didn't he?
Well, he certainly did, although, yes.
But he wasn't really.
And I don't know whether people actually ever saw Danny Kaye in the film Hans Christian Andersen as part of their childhood films or on TV. It might have actually got to the younger generations, the current generations. But some of the stories that he wrote actually had a very, very dark side to them. And it almost has preluded those sort of spooky films that kids now are dished up with.
But in his story, the hero was usually a sort of an ugly-looking person, but he had a heart of gold and a pure inside.
Much like the Ugly Duckling.
Much like the Ugly Duckling, yeah. And Hans Christian Andersen himself was not a very attractive-looking man. He was, very tall. He had huge hands and huge feet, and he had a very prissy, effeminate voice and action and manner. Charles Dickens didn't like him because of his prissy manner, is what he called it.
It would be demanding, yeah. I would imagine.
Yes, yeah. And so, but he just wrote lovely fairy tales, and most of the main characters were sort of taken off himself.
Well, he wasn't particularly pretty.
No, he wasn't at all, apparently.
He had a very big nose.
Yes.
And he was a bit gangly, and he was also socially inept, can I put it that way?
Well, he was teased abominably when he was a child because of his looks, of
teased
course.
Teased or bullied.
Bullied, another thing. Yes. Bullied that happens to the community, our community, a hell of a lot when the young ones. But he had a beautiful soprano voice, apparently, and he went from to Copenhagen and wanted to be an actor or a singer or something in the theatre or a dancer. But I imagine with the big feet and the big hands he had, he looked like a fan wave in the air.
He would have been flopping around.
Yes, yes. But he wrote all these wonderful, wonderful stories that have entertained myriads of children
over
the years.
Well, I think my generation probably didn't know of him, but they would have learnt his stories through the Disney interpretation of them. And a lot of that would take the darkness out much as Disney can.
The funny part about it is with Danny Kaye playing Hans Christian Andersen, Danny Kaye was gay anyhow.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a gay man playing a gay man.
See, that's my visualisation. If I see Hans Christian Andersen in writing, I visualise Danny Kaye.
Mm. Yeah, same with Willy Wonka. Yeah, there is only one way of imagining
that. Yes, Johnny Depp.
Go outside got you on that and one. Wash your mouth.
If I may, bazinga.
Hans Christian Andersen titled his autobiography, The Fairy Tale of My Life. And there is actually something miraculous about the transformation of a poverty-stricken, uneducated child into a world-renowned writer. But in this particular autobiography, we learn that Andersen suffered from dyslexia and agoraphobia, not to mention the fact that he was a strict vegetarian, and he also feared being burned or buried alive. So he had his own devils.
Yeah, he actually had he was in love, very much in love, with a bloke named Edvard Collin, and the young man went off and got married. And it was absolutely devastating to...
That's a slap in the face.
Hans Christian Andersen, yeah.
And but being dyslexic, he could also go... You could always go back and pray to dog.
Yes, that's right, yes.
In dog we trust.
But when he died, he was buried. He wanted to be buried in a grave next to Edvard Collin and his wife. And
one final dig.
Yeah, and one
so
final...
So to speak.
Yes. And a bit later, the family of the married couple had the bodies reinterred so that they were away from Hans Christian Andersen.
That's homophobia for you. The guy's dead.
Dead, and there's homophobia for you. Yeah, so that's the ultimate, I think, in homophobia. But, he's buried in the cemetery in Copenhagen.
One of his little stories was The Red Shoes, and vanity is the sin of the anti-heroine in this nasty tale, which was made into an acclaimed film in 1948. Karen's sin of going to church in bright red shoes and failing to care for her grandmother is punished by her being forced to dance unceasingly.
Yes, that's right.
Forever. Rest only comes when her feet are cut off with an axe. Nice.
Lovely. Well, the main male character in that was Robert Heltman.
Oh, that's
our Bobby Heltman.
Yeah.
Yes.
An Australian ballet dancer of a gay disposition.
A very gay disposition, who said he would never dance in the nude because there were certain parts of the anatomy that didn't stop in time with the music.
The mind's starting to boggle. No, it stopped. But well, were Dorothy's red slippers, the ruby red slippers, any connection back to the red shoes?
Who knows?
Could have been.
I'm draw a line between anything.
I'm actually reading a book about Dorothy and the and Kansas and all the rest of it.
Well, I'm a friend of Dorothy.
Yeah, are you?
Yes, oh, apparently. So am never I. Met the woman.
My Dorothy lives up at Warwicknabeal, though.
I had an auntie Dorothy. And when I was living in California, they had a competition on one of the radio stations because the internet had just come out, or the World Wide Web, and they wanted to find .com.
All right.
And up in one of the little towns in Northern California was Dorothy Com. And she had no idea what they were talking about.
Thank you for your technical commentary.
I'll throw in something every week.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to communicate with the program,
you can communicate with us. You can write to us. In fact, you can email us at beenthere@joy.org.au.
Tell us if you enjoyed the 750th program, because we've had lots of fun making it, I can tell you.
Grabs of some of our soundtracks from
some of
the
those 2000. Brought back lots of memories.
2000 from 2011, 2012, and 2009. That's
and
right.
And we're still here. Any three of us will make the 1500th show, which is twice as many as what we've done.
Well, you see, the older you get, the more inaccurate your counting becomes. So we get the 3000 in 6 weeks.
So next week's might be the 800th show.
You never know.
Join us next week for another show here on Been There, Done That, when we look at gay people, their histories, gay icons, bicons, dicons, events in history that still affect our lives. And thanks for being with us today. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.